situationships, there's one of two things that happens. The person who's less yoked is lying about exactly how yoked they are. They're mm-hmm. breadcrumbing. They're leading somebody along. Mm-hmm. Or that person is very open and honest about it, and the person who's more yoked think that they can, like, slowly change their mind.
We need a word for that, like sourdoughing or some shit like that, because that's a very specific situation.
That might work.
Yeah.
It might work.
Because they're trying to get something started, and it ain't happening. They're trying to get a starter going. It's not.
It's a little bitter to the taste.
You're trying to start something up and get a raising, but it's still it's not cooking.
I've very much had conversations where, like, I was very clear. You know, the woman would come up to me and be like, well, would you give a shit if, like, I did this? I was like, I encourage it. Go find love, because this ain't love.
Because
you
stand behind it. I guarantee it.
I've been in situations where that has happened, and it was a ploy. It was like trying to, like, force my hand on something.
Of course. Are you jealous? Are you jealous yet? Are you jealous? Yeah. It's like, yeah, no, you're good.
I'm really not jealous. I promise I am not.
Are you
I'm not
sure?
Jealous, but you might have turned me on to a new kink.
I think I'm enjoying this, actually. Do you mind if I invite some friends? Because I don't know. It seems like you're loving
it. Like
crew.
A little voyeur experience? I don't.
It's a red flag.
No, I mean, I can. That's a fact. But I don't know if the average man can.
Yeah, I don't think the average man can do what you just described.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. Organs stay where they're at. All right.
But you, I think you can do it. So you need to go get that popping.
I haven't masturbated in months. Water walks on me.
Look at this guy.
I mean, hard flicks. I mean,
I know, right? Shit. I mean, people can
fly twice as high.
Unless you are asexual, you know. I don't know. Okay, I ain't mad at it. You still be having them? You still be having them crazy wet dreams where you be like levitating, and then like you just wake up and the whole ceiling is painted.
And I've just nutted all over. No, because I really am like I've nutted like once in the last like 4 months. So I'm like, usually it'd be like. Really getting me caught up, like my body's like, yo, we gotta impregnate somebody. But now I think it's just like, nah, you're chilling.
We gotta impregnate somebody.
Yo, somebody. Hopefully, somebody's near. You know what I'm saying? Just strategically nutting randomly, hoping to catch a pussy.
What if you was like on some like God level shit where the nut was just so potent, like it spread through the air like a virus.
Like spores.
Right,
I don't have sperms.
Like
I have spores.
Well, yeah, right.
my nut comes out in a cloud of dust and just
oh god, the rat
the
couldn't
wind.
Catch everything. Think about the cause
trying
of
to vacuum
second
it up and shit. Just have a Rick and Morty weird situation of a bunch of goddamn mixed looking niggas walking around that look like me.
It's like I've never seen this child or woman before in my life.
All over the planet, a bunch of half Chinese, half me, half. Hawaiian, half me, half black, half me.
Nah. Anyway, what if you was the actual cause of that Netflix show Umbrella Academy? You just busting up so hard one day and then like just the spores just went all around the world, just started impregnating random people.
What would their powers be? That would be the question.
Conversation.
Oh, they would all have the same power?
Advanced,
I feel like I have
advanced inquisitiveness. Like it would be, it would just be
okay,
around.
Okay, okay, okay. Weaponized stupidity.
Yeah, weaponizing stupidity. But damn, that would be like the real short end of the straw.
I feel like that could be actually an exceptional power if utilized properly, because weaponized stupidity, you know where weaponized stupidity would be good? Mind control, like a telepath. They can't even get hold of your thoughts because you don't have any, because you don't weaponize stupidity. You see what I'm saying?
Every time they try to get control of your thoughts, it's like that SpongeBob meme where like, they show Patrick's thoughts and it's just like a glass of spilled milk.
Exactly. And it makes them dumber. Yeah. So you could be like, read my mind. And then it deletes their brain as soon as they try and read your mind. Weaponized stupidity. It's really a great power.
It's a class 5 danger, but really it's just like advanced stupidity, like just weaponized stupidity.
This motherfucker's wiping people's entire minds. He's an omega level mutant.
Just exposing mass people to mental retardation would just be crazy. It's just a crazy superpower to have.
Oh, shit. Weaponized stupidity would be not just that you're so stupid that you can destroy telepaths, but that you can weaponize your stupidity and make other people stupid.
Yeah.
That I see. You could just mentally handicap a whole radius of people.
That's like some Charles Xavier type, you know, type shit.
That's actually a good ass power.
Like
send
cousin.
That motherfucker in before a bank robbery, just wipe everybody, just have everybody like 3-year-olds. It's like taking, you know, gold bullions from a baby.
Yo, my God, bro. Like, you, hopefully it's like, it's not permanent. You know, it's like, maybe they just spend a week.
Temporary stupidity.
Yeah, it's like,
otherwise it's kind of unethical.
Temporary stupefaction.
Stupefacity. I see.
Yeah, with his power up, stupefacity, like he got like the little the anime comic, like you know, wah, steel. Wah, 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 wah. Eddie okay. Overgold with his fantastical powers of mental retardation.
Want to see me be stupid? Want to see me do it again?
Fuck, I'm just a little drool. Just got a little spit. Just got. I'm sorry. Yeah, we might be getting offensive.
I think you're not supposed to say that when I don't know.
That, no. It's I said it the academic.
That's
sense.
True. It was the correct use of the term.
Yeah. So,
but it was also used for comedic. You know, did we use our powers for good? Alvin, as the expert wordler,
if you have to ask yourself. Should I say this word? You probably just avoid saying the word.
I didn't have to ask myself if I should say it because yeah. Academic sense. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I don't.
Yeah, but that's I also wasn't like directing that towards you. That was just a general rule. Like, I feel
yeah.
like
yeah.
And so some good, and some and some saying. And somebody on here asked the question. But if you're comfortable saying it, then that's you. I wouldn't say
in
it.
In that context,
I would just use a different word.
All right, well, I'll do it again. Eddie Overgold and his fantastical powers of mental stupefaction, but I'm sure someone is going to get offended with that. I don't know.
No, that's good. That's good. No, man, you be thinking that people get mad at every goddamn thing. Like, people you can't say mad. Nothing now. That is, it's true, man. It's always going to be
somebody. You know what I mean?
There's like, of course, there's always going to be somebody.
There's like a box of like four things that you have to avoid and like that people truly get mad about. And one person getting mad about something isn't people getting mad about something. Like the masses get mad about like a very small cadre of things people say.
I mostly agree. I think it's some things that are like, but it's like, yeah, of course, there's always going to be one comment, one person, one something. And maybe they have a relevant grievance, maybe. But it's like that don't constitute like, oh, you can't do nothing these days. It's like that's just one person saying, hey, by the way, I don't like pepperonis on my pizza. It's like, oh, you can't even make pepperoni pizza no more. It's like, well, no, that was just one dude that don't like pepperoni on his pizzas. Yeah. It's going to be all right. All right. Welcome, everybody, to Waving the Red Flag, the number one dating a pepperoni pizza podcast in the universe. It's your boy, Eddie. It's Josh. It's Alvin. Let's get into some. I think I want to go for a more serious episode, as you all have seen from the topics that we listed today. So, let's see. Have y'all ever put a toe in somebody's vagina?
Have you ever put your toe in a vagina?
I have not.
Okay.
I don't know.
And the next question should be: if he said yes, have you ever went strictly immediately to jail?
You have.
All right. No. Absolutely not. I would not put my toe in someone's mouth.
I couldn't.
If it was up to me.
Wasn't up to you, then is that really even you putting it in there?
My toe was placed into someone's mouth then, so maybe not. Like, it wasn't my action.
Yeah, like if somebody forcefully, like, you know, this little piggy went to Morgan, and you were like, oh, I don't want, stop. And they were like, come on. I think that
you have eight. Oh, never mind. All right.
What?
That was about a whole other question. Whole other topic. God, no.
No, I can't do nothing foot related. I'm disgusted by. I'm not disgusted, but it's similar to my butthole where it's like, you know what I'm saying. I'm not disgusted. I like it, but like don't that just fucks up my view of you if anything with my foot is going on. Because you saw the clip, yeah.
No, I actually did not have a chance to see it.
Old girl from I want to say the Cocktails podcast or something like that.
I am here to tell y'all. Ladies.
You're here to tell me what?
Okay.
Get ready.
It accidentally happened one time.
He's
tall. You're straddling one leg. A toe kind of just eases its way and is grazing your vagina. And now you're like, well, wait, this feels kind of good. It's getting juicy. So you kind of just put the big toe inside of your vagina and just grind as you're sucking. and it feels.
That's just.
Oh, my God. Like, that's.
Now you got. Yeah. And he was just like, fuck it. Yeah, that's. It just seems like a good way to get an infection that a human's not supposed to have, you know?
Hey, if
I
would not ask for that, nor would I suggest it. Yeah, but if she's getting off on it, like if that's what she likes, and like if it was me, right, that would not be something that would come remotely to my mind. But if my toes was just mad clean, they are clean. Like I got nice feet for a nigga. But like, yeah, exactly. Like, they was like fresh off the
nigga said, make no mistake about it.
Make no mistake. I am clean, and I got nice feet for a nigga. So, I mean, you know, there you have it. But if...
We might have a new revenue stream.
Just really just wanted it and just started doing it. I might let it ride for a minute, but then I'm like, oh, just to get the experience, just to log it, like, okay, this is what this is. I thought I wouldn't like it, and I still probably don't really care.
But
I would probably let it ride for, like, you know, just to get the experience. Just say, wow, this happened. You know what I mean?
I mean, because I'm definitely an experienced capturer, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
I just, the thought of it just disgusts me. Alvin, what's up?
No.
Yay or nay? Wouldn't do it?
No.
Wouldn't do it, couldn't do it.
What about mouth? What about if she wants to suck on your toes a little bit? Has it ever happened?
Like no.
An attempt. Okay.
No.
That's fair. That's fair. Okay. Have you ever had a woman try to tap in and give your brain a love suck? If you want me to explain that, I can.
I have no idea what you're talking about. You're speaking foreign language.
All right, so check this
out. You're talking about analingus?
This is a metaphor, all right? It's a metaphor. Okay. All right, so you and a nice young lady, someone you care for, maybe a little one-nighter. You start engaging her at a bar, somewhere quiet, you know, where you're strongest at.
Is it an audiobook right now?
I'm walking through the situation. So, and y'all have an intense conversation about, say, for instance, taxes and how she knows how to do her taxes too, so y'all start comparing notes. You find yourself really fucking turned on, and then that leads to something else. Like, oh my god, okay, taxes, deductions, what do you think about additions? And then, like, she just really just starts, like, sucking that brain, baby, you know what I mean? Like, really giving that mind the gok 3000
fulcrums or whatever it's called.
You ever had that before? Has your mind ever been so stimulated? Where you just
brain gas,
you just fucking like let off,
all over your
toes curled.
I know he's get his toes uncurled a couple of times off some brain, some brain shit. No,
that's a very good journey though. By the way, Josh, that was very good storytelling.
I had you in the first half.
No, he went there.
Yeah.
I seen the facial expression. He was excited.
He was like, shit.
He was like, hold on. This might... What are these feelings? What are you doing to me? What are these feelings?
Like, wow. I haven't, but I would.
I want to.
I would, yeah.
You almost hit him with a Goodwill Hunting. He about to... As soon as his pod ends, he about to change his whole life. Head to a bar with like
I'm about to make a call.
Book of Economics.
Oh, Audible? No, not like as in the book website, but I actually had something like on my mind. How do y'all feel about
was that a football reference?
Yeah, like to call a play audible, like to change the play, like
I vibes. I knew what was going on.
Yeah,
thought you didn't get vibes. See,
I don't.
He's learning.
Yep.
But it's like learning. I'm deaf, but I read lips.
So what do y'all think about situationships? Good, bad, you know, what's needed for them to actually make them work? Or even just the verbiage of a situationship. Is a situationship become something like that's more negatively viewed? And should we be calling it something else to give it a more positive spin for a healthier image?
I'm going to let Alvin start on this one.
So it's technically two things.
Yeah. I think, and this basically applies to every relationship, you can kind of do whatever two consenting adults without information asymmetries in a healthy situation want to do, and it kind of doesn't matter what you call it, because there are relationship things that like people do that like completely work for them that are healthy, that are pro-social, and people will be like, oh, and I'll give you a specific example of that. It's like if you've been in a relationship like over like I'd say 3 years and you guys aren't married, like a lot of people think that's a red flag. But that works for a lot of people. So I kind of don't think people should give a shit if everything's healthy and nobody's being lied to or misled about intention. So I feel the same way ultimately about the quote unquote situationship. I typically think that it's the same thing as effectively like friends with benefits, maybe with a tad more emotional involvement. But as long as everybody's open and honest, and again, as long as one person isn't misleading the other, leading to the information asymmetries, I think that's perfectly fine. And I think what typically happens when people automatically assume it's negative is that they're projecting their own negative experiences that usually come from somebody misleading them. So is it, if everybody's open, honest, I think it's a very healthy situation. It's no less healthy than anything else that anybody does.
Hey, AB, be cooking, bro.
Did hey, I answer man, both questions?
With gas. You got to end everything like that. Just do a long ass, like, hit everything and be like, did I sufficiently answer the question? Look into the camera lovingly. This motherfucker just watched a girl shake the shit and goes, did you get there? You know you answered the fucking questions, bro.
Are you satisfied?
Are you satisfied? I know how it does that. She just... Yo, did you arrive?
It's just fucking just...
He's just dripping.
everywhere. Are you good?
Did you climax? Was that adequate?
See, my issue is... I think that a lot of people... I think that you can be honest and unhappy. Like, I think it's easy to be honest and unhappy. So a person can totally go, okay...
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I know what this is. I know what it's not. We're doing our thing. But then you're still like wanting more. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If that type of thing is going to work, like, it definitely needs to have some very strong and good communication. And like both people need to be able to express like currently where they're at in life and like some of the why of where they're at in life. And after that, you got to be okay with it. Like, you know, it's like you might come to a point where you just might have to take it on the chin. Like, but if see, those feelings do supersede the initial agreement.
I think a big thing is in those situations, the conversation about it needs to be like both of us can leave this with no hard feelings.
Yes.
Because if you get to a situation and I've had that conversation in basically every relationship that I've had as an adult, like if I'm no longer your best option, like I wish you well. Like, I want you to be happy. I don't think I've ever had maybe one. Yeah, probably just one. But most of my breakups were not anything that like the situation ended where I had any animosity, where like I felt anything other than like I want the best for that person. If it's not me, phenomenal. I think that just needs to be amplified to the umpteenth power when you're talking about a situationship, because ideally, this is no strings attached. Ideally, this is you guys like each other. Like, it may be a little bit more than just like a one night stand kind of situation. There may be something there, but I think the conversation on exactly how no strings attached this is needs to be had. And if it's super no strings attached, then you being unhappy means you should just cut and run.
But see, the thing I feel like we're missing here is like we're talking about it in terms of like fault, anger, resentment, who's right, who's wrong, which I think is how these conversations are usually. It's like, well, hey, look, I told you what it is and you know it, so I'm just gonna be happy for you. And I feel like the bigger question here is not like, oh, if you're fucking a dude who doesn't want something more and y'all break up, did something wrong happen to you? It's more of a question of like, is this the kind of relationship that people who are entering into these kinds of relationships actually want to be entering into? Like, it's not even about fault or, you know, animosity or any of that. I mean, that's part of it. But I think the conversation is like, hey, look, a lot of y'all who are going for friends with benefits, situationships, are not built for that shit. As a matter of fact, probably most people are not built for that shit. And it's not about hating people. It's not about, oh, well, you know, they did me wrong and they did me dirty. It's cool. Maybe neither. Like, it'd be two motherfuckers in a situationship and neither of them is built for that shit. Fuck the animosity. Yeah. Like, it's self-harm, low-key.
You're right. I don't think a lot of people really are, like, built for that type of lifestyle. But I will say this, though, because, like, there's also a thing of, look, for one, people be fucking. And, like, unless you're, like, you know, asexual, unless you subscribe to, like, you know.
Celibacy.
I'm not. celibacy, like whatever it could be, you know what I'm saying? Like where you don't even have the need, the want, you know, refraining from sex. Cool. Like, you know, this is something different. But like, if you want companionship, like if you want physical touch, but you're still not ready for a relationship, should you not be allowed to have it? And that's where those things kind of come into play. So I think it takes a lot of maturity to be in that situation, and communication and respect for people's boundaries. And if like you're going to get into that.
My fault. I was double dutching. No. I'm sorry. Did you get it? Are you good?
I got it. I'm good. That was
I feel like you just pointed out an interesting, because it seems like what you're implying is that a lot of people are in situationships because they want like a certain set of intimacy needs met, but aren't ready to meet all of the intimacy needs of another person. Is that kind of what you were getting at?
That's extremely good way to objectively say that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Then in that case, I think 95% of the time, probably no, you shouldn't do that. Like if you're like, hey, look, I want this, but I don't want strings attached, but I want strings attached, but only on my side. So I'm going to need to find somebody who is like, because 99 times out of 100, the person that you're finding is not like, they want strings too.
Well,
in some kind of way, not always, but like, you know what I'm saying?
I think that number might be a bit overinflated.
Yeah.
Like most people want. Go ahead.
I think what happens with situationships, I'll be honest, and for one reason or another, I think it's that one person is more invested in the situation than the other person.
Mm. Of course.
Yeah. I think that in Josh's example, if you have two people whose love language is physical touch or whatever, not even love language, that's too extreme.
Just they
if
want
they
to
just
touch
are craving physical touch.
Yeah.
And they both don't want that, I think that's very feasible to find, and I think it's very easy to have a conversation. And I think it's not necessarily easy to execute post that conversation, but I think it's very easy to have a conversation and then figure out where that goes from there. But I think the vast majority of people's feelings and the lens in which they view situationships is because there's one person more yoked than the other person. There's one of two things that happens. The person who's less yoked is lying about exactly how yoked they are. They're breadcrumbing. They're leading somebody along. Mm-hmm. Or that person is very open and honest about it, and the person who's more yoked think that they can like slowly change their mind.
We need like sourdoughing or some shit like that, because that's a very specific situation.
That might work.
Yeah.
It might work.
Because they're trying to get something started, and it ain't happening. They're trying to get a starter going, and it's not. Okay, I think we might got the term sourdoughing.
It's a little better. It's a little bitter to the taste.
Yeah, they're trying to start something up and get a raisin, but it's still. It's not cooking.
That is a very accurate use of figurative language there. That is very good.
Yeah, that was clean.
Yeah, but like I don't think it's in theory. I know there's a lot of stuff in practice. In theory, I don't think it's that hard. I think the practice of it gets muddied by what I just said.
No, I agree. Like, but like almost like as I've said before on the pod, like almost no one on the planet is actually like you. So for most people who have a more general, average, regular brain setup, in practice, that shit falls apart immediately. Because to your point, in almost every one of these situations, somebody is wildly unevenly yoked. Somebody likes somebody more than the other person, and either they're trying to sourdough, or the other person is trying to breadcrumb, and they know they're taking advantage of that. So it's like you're going into a situation either going, look, I want to get this need met. I want to get my dick wet or my pussy ate, and I'm going to look for someone who wants to do that with the idea that they also aren't looking for an attachment, they also aren't looking for a commitment, but low-key in practice, I really don't give a fuck as long as I'm getting my thing met. Because I'm not finna give the relationship. So they can want whatever, they can want to be my boyfriend, they can want to be my girlfriend. I'm still getting my genitals, you know, linguated. So that's what's gonna work for me. I don't care about the, you know, and I feel like that's a large majority of situations.
But I think that's what fucks that up. Especially like when it comes to how guys approach that, because it's just they're not like looking at the other benefits they could have from being in communion with women or a woman.
Self-harm, like I said, that's a good point.
So because like just as men, right, if you would just learn to be a likable, communicative person. And communicating is difficult. Like, I ain't gonna hold it's you. Like, that shit is not as easy. It's not as easy.
It's actually incredibly difficult.
It's
very hard.
But
when you look at it objectively, it's very hard.
Very difficult. It's nuances that come into what makes communication difficult, but it's a task worth doing or practicing at.
Ooh, I like that. That was clean.
Hey, my nigga,
it's hard, but it's a task worth doing. Yeah. We got the words.
Communication is a task worth doing, and like getting off that pre-fucking programmed red pill bullshit, all women are X, Y, and Z, because they not. Like, it's so many different flavors of women, just like it's different flavors of niggas. But niggas be fucking up the ecosystem, and y'all be, I feel like a lot of guys approach that situation wrong, because we have had in our comments women saying like, yo, we would be a lot more willing to just give up draws. Like, y'all think we'd be horny too? Like, we'd be a lot more willing, but like, niggas be making it so hard to make men likable, and we see it all over the ecosystem, but like, just niggas who don't have a frame of reference as to why women be doing shit, they just think, oh, these bitches is crazy. Like, it's kind of like there's a way that you can navigate that situation, and both of y'all could learn from each other while also having a physical relationship. Like, if that mutual, like, you know, sexual attraction, that sexual attention is there, I feel like that could end up being a beautiful thing. Like, most relationships don't work out. Like, that's just the reality of it. But not every relationship or situation or friends with whatever, like, was bad.
You know, that's a very good point. And something you just said before of like, we want to give up draws too. Like, don't we get horny too? Because I'm just trying to reconcile that, because I'm like, as I said before, they're not as indiscriminate as us, but also we don't put as much attention into being attractive. So it's hard to, we don't put as much effort into being attractive as I think women on average do. So there's a little bit of an unevenness there as well. So like, the average guy is a little bit more fresh out of the box than the average woman is, I think it's fair to say.
You're being so nice when you say that. Go ahead though.
Fresh out of the box is a very, very, that might be under
the most positive spin on that situation.
Fox News worthy.
No, because I'm not trying to roast nobody. Like, I'm not trying to disrespect men, because I know as men listen to the podcast, like, I'm not trying to be like, oh, you have to, you know what I'm saying? Because low key, I think part of the point is that women are obligated to do way more than what maybe should be. Like, maybe they should be a little bit more fresh out the box. Not that I don't appreciate it, because I love, you know, I love a painted lady. If that, I don't know if that implies another thing, but you know what I'm saying? But I wonder though, it seems like in that process of getting into like a situationship, it seems like the point at which a person is ready is very different for men versus women, or something. Because I'm just trying to figure out, because what you said is true. Like, because every time somebody talks about, you know, casual sex or whatever, it's tons of women going, oh, we love casual sex. We trying to fuck too. And I'm like, come on. But that's not the reality in the streets. Like,
I think it is. In terms of volume. I think it is. I think it is. So one.
I know you said that, but okay, let me finish the theory to see if this like reconciles any difference. My theory is, I feel like a guy, or on average men, I should say, know really pretty much instantaneously whether they would be interested in having some amount of sex with a woman, casual or otherwise. Whereas I feel like a woman, it's more like there's a point of rapport where you go, okay, I would be willing or interested in fucking this guy casually. That's, I don't know, but I'm just putting that forward, just trying to reconcile it.
I honestly don't know, and I think that that's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if there's any research on that, and outside of any research, I don't want to speak for women, but the research does say that the sexual coupling is concentrated amongst fewer men than women, right? So like, there are multiple women over the course of, say, like a year fucking the same man. So like, that's where the asymmetry comes from. Yeah. So it's like that's the reconciliation. It's the fact that like one man may fuck five women, and like that leaves a bunch of other men outside of the.
No, but the thing that leaves out is because what we're talking about is not the amount of sex had, it's the amount of sex and kind of sex that is desired. Those men that aren't having sex with the women, many of them still do want casual sex. And that's the thing that we're talking about, not who actually is having the sex.
I would say that a lot of the men that
like, it's not 90% of men going, oh, no, thank you. And that's why all the women have 10 dudes.
I would say that of the percentage, and I do think that a lot of the studies that people quote on that are
bunk,
are bad survey methodology for a lot of reasons that I won't get into. But of that percentage, which I do think is very real and significant, just not as large as these like clickbaity kind of articles kind of put out there based on okay. survey methodology. I would say that a huge percentage of them definitely do want just like a casual sex situation. But I think that a lot of that population wants more intimate connection, and sex is just like a part of that. Like, I think they want a girlfriend. You know what I mean? I think they want somebody like in their life.
Yeah.
And I think that, I think that's a lot larger than like 10%. I think that may be like 40%.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think my point still stands. Yeah. Like, cause
I think it doesn't. If because I think that was like a, I think that was a linchpin argument of what you were saying based on your comment right before.
Okay.
If I'm wrong, please correct me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not 100% sure. So let's hit the semantics and see what comes out. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It seemed like what you were arguing is that because there is evidence to suggest that there's an asymmetry of the amount of sex that men and women are having, that put in a, like mm-hmm. a very red pilly, like super reduced down, you know, a large percentage of women are having a lot of sex with a small percentage of men, seemed to imply that women are interested in casual sex, and that that is evidence of that because they're all they're sharing men.
And their word saying, that they and their word that no, no, they're yeah. interested in casual sex. Yeah.
Well, that's it. And that's yeah. that's the thing that I was trying to reconcile before. But if we're just yeah, using that you. Bit as evidence, I'm like, OK, yeah,
yeah.
but they're not having sex with those 10% of men because the other 90% of men don't want to have casual sex. Like, that's not the attenuating factor at all. It's entirely unrelated. It's that they want to have some amount of sex with that small percentage of men. Then the question is, of those women, a ton of them want to be in relationships with those guys. Not all. Some of them are looking for... So what I'm saying is basically just not evidence one way or the other. Like, of those 90% of women and of those 10% of men, there's still a split of people in that who want relationships and who want casual sex. And just fucking is like a... Like, people who want casual sex and people who want relationships both end up fucking casually. Like, both of those things lead to that same behavior.
Yeah.
And I do want to point out, just as a very small tangent, I don't want to get off too much on this, but like, I don't think it's a small percentage. I don't think all women are fucking 10% of men. I think,
yeah, you know, that was, are,
you know, yeah, yeah. But it seemed very much like it was like you were saying 1 + 1 = 5, and 5 is the right answer. So I think that we ultimately got to 5 as the right answer, but I don't think what you said led up to your ultimate point. I think your ultimate point is a poignant one. So I think we can just go from there, and I won't make a semantic argument that kind of waste time. But I think that you bring up something very interesting. Like, so if everybody's having casual sex, then I think that that ultimately leads to a maladaptive dating environment. Because if everybody's doing something, to your point that you literally started off with, that they kind of feel forced to do based on the trends in the dating pool, that means that you have a lot of unhappy
options.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah. That means you just have a lot of unhappy people.
Yes. And I think that there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that going on. So
true. I completely 100% agree. Like, you do have a lot of unhappy people, especially if it's like drawn out over, hell, a year or two. Y'all been dealing with each other and y'all ain't even boyfriend. It's no real title put on. It's just like, oh man, we vibing. You know, that's how
we do what we do.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck with you,
but
heavy,
I'll say, because like people say they want to either like, you want to be married situation. Like, everybody wants their ideal situation, right?
Mm.
But in the road to get into the ideal situation, or like just with life and how just life works actually, you might find yourself in like somewhat of friends with benefits with somebody just attracted to, like, you know, you're single, or it's so many different layers and factors that can go into it that just could cause a cluster fudge. And that's just ultimately why I was saying why communication is so important. Like, if that's not okay with you, then back up. Like, you should leave. Like, you should leave that alone. As the other person, the receiving party, as the guy in the situation, like, you got to be okay with that. Like, you should not get in your damn feelings, like, start cussing her out, calling her out of her name, and just doing dumb shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to take that shit on the chin. And I heard this from another woman. Like, one thing, as much as guys push for, like, you know, something casual, it's like, okay, well, all right, well, how about, what if she start acting single? Then that nigga start tripping. It's like, nah, you can't have your cake and eat it too. Like, if she's
That's
gonna
what I'm
continue,
saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, nah,
yeah,
you,
I'm with you.
You, if yeah, because if you wanna, do what you wanna do, I don't give a fuck. Like, you gotta give her that leeway. Like, you gotta be willing to take that shit on the chin. And
look, bro, I'm saying when it comes to the situation, I feel like situationships is just like ghetto, poorly planned polyamory, and I think polyamory is
over fucking rated, oversaturated, overused, over implemented. It's fine to exist. Cool. Most of y'all motherfuckers, this is not what you're built for. You want to fuck a bunch of women and have them all love you and you don't love none of them. You're not built for a situationship because you're not ready for them to not want you like how you don't want them. So you're not ready for that kind of relationship.
Yeah.
You're looking for the wrong thing.
But like, I'll also say that, you know, in the very distant past, like I've been in situationships where like a woman like came up to me. I mean, because I just don't
get them confused.
It's not even about like that. It's just that I'm in a different place in my life. And I consider my life as more of a mature adult, more of like a serial monogamous than
okay, somebody. So you're who in a new chapter now.
Yeah. So that's why I specify.
No, I understood that to be the case.
Yeah.
I understood that to be the case, but it was funny the way you was like, hey, look, just so y'all know, that's the old me. I don't get down like that no more.
Yeah. But I've very much had conversations where like, I was very clear. Like I meant what I said because I say what I mean. And you know, the woman would come up to me and be like, well, would you give a shit if like, if I did this, I was like, I encourage it. Go find love, because this ain't love.
Because you stand behind it, I guarantee it.
I hope you fall in love, because like you're not gonna find it here. We don't sell that.
I want you love to be happy. I'm like, you're cool people. Like, I hope we can always be friends. I want the best for you. Mm. And if you find love, like, please go pursue that shit. Like, and like, that was kind of I've been in situations where that has happened, and it was a ploy. It was like trying to like force my hand on something.
Of course,
trying to see if it was.
Are you jealous? Are you jealous yet? Are you jealous? Yeah. It's like, yeah, no, you're good.
I'm really not jealous. I promise I am not.
Are you
I'm not
sure? Jealous,
but you might have turned me on to a new kink.
I think I'm enjoying this, actually. Do you mind if I invite some friends? Because I don't know. It seems like you're loving it.
Like
crew.
A little voyeur experience?
Do you like to be shared? Yeah. Party favors. The end of the whole thing. He does the draws. He's just drenched.
Draws is just party arrive? Favors. Oh my God. Did you arrive? I was speaking more generally, not on you, Al, but
I'm with you.
I, though, think that what you're describing is what it should look like, though the response of the women that you've described, and I've been in those situations as well where it's like, you know, you're genuinely, legitimately not breadcrumbing. They genuinely, legitimately are still sourdoughing. In that situation, it goes both ways. Like, I know this conversation could turn very quickly into a like, niggas need to be more honest and, you know, stop, you know, having this double standard about how they're. But it's not just that. Because one, women are often the ones to Alvin's point, and I do agree with this. I don't know on the percentages, but like women are also in situations where they don't want a thing and they just want to fuck. Men are in situations where they want a relationship and they want to sourdough and love bomb you into being only with them when you made it very clear early on that you were casual. Same thing for women. If you say, hey, look, I really am not jealous. I'm really not looking for anything. I'm not in love with you. I'm interested in continuing to have sex with you if you would like to continue doing that. And the other person says, nope, all good, peace. Or yes, cool, let's do it. Then that works perfectly. But I would say,
but
in practice of all the situationships that are actually happening, almost none of, like, as a percentage of situationships that you've been in where you were clear, communicative and about your lack of desire for a further relationship, as a percentage of those, how many times did the girl say, cool, we're good, and that was true?
A very small percentage.
A very small percentage. So that's my point here. Most of them situationships shouldn't have happened. One or both parties should have said, this ain't what it is. So
I mean, in my case, one party did say this ain't what it is eventually.
Hey, there you go. And that's what's supposed to happen. Here. Yeah.
Yeah.
New chapter, a new Christian man, you know what I'm saying? A new type of Alvin. We all need our previous chapters to get to the end of the book.
You know,
yo, speaking of
character development, but yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Character development. No, I mean, my segue is about to be bullshit anyway. I just want to talk about this shit before we finish up. The Elon Musk chip. What do y'all think about that? Because he's doing the human trials or whatever, and people are tweeting about, oh, y'all some idiots, y'all who are letting da 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 happen, especially since he's killed like 25 chimpanzees.
Elon Musk's brain implant company, Neuralink, said on Thursday it had been given a green light from the US FDA to kickstart its first in human clinical study.
I'm an idiot.
Because, you want to try that shit?
Of course I want to try that shit. Of course I want to try. Come on. You don't know me long enough to know I definitely want to try that shit. I don't know if I
would. Nah.
What? Mm-mm.
Nah, because like
it's a contradiction.
I can never tell sometimes because like some of the simplest shit, you'd be like, oh, that, hell no, that's a conspiracy theory right there, my nigga. You don't understand. Like, I'm like, bro, it seems pretty cut and dry. Like, I don't, like.
It's Swiss cheese. Nah, see, they don't want to. The holes is filled with lies, brother.
Holes is filled with lies. You're not actually getting the real amount of cheese that you're paying for, my brother.
Exactly. They give you this much cheese, but it's really only half that because it's 90% holes. How you paying for nothing?
Exactly. Mm-mm. You filling your stomach with holes and lies? I don't want to do
now
that.
And you still hungry. How you got cheese on your sandwich? You got a half empty sandwich.
Right.
What type of sandwich is that? That's a struggle sandwich.
That just gave me like the energy of, why you ain't just eat it cold?
This nigga trying to cook a motherfucking sandwich. This pussy ass nigga burn a fucking sandwich. Why the fuck you ain't eating cold? The fuck wrong with you?
No. Yeah. I probably wouldn't do this, but I think it's one of those things where to me, that kind of technology is so aspirational, so speculative, so future forward in whatever its final iteration would be, that it kind of overrides the distrusting part of my mind because I'm like, what things do I want to have done in my life when I inevitably die? And so it's kind of like the heroin question. Like I've talked about, like I definitely will probably try heroin before I die if I'm aware enough of when my death is going to happen to be able to arrange it properly. Would I do it today? Of course not. Would I want to die without having done it? No. And so when I think about this, I'm like having my mind tapped directly into, you know, all of the greatest technology and information and digital systems we've ever created is a thing that I don't want to die not having experienced. Do I want this nigga Elon Musk to goddamn drill a hole in my head today? No. But am I fascinated and deeply curious about having this experience? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I need a better understanding. So, and I'm gonna give a caveat for it. So you ever watch those like future tech videos from like the 50s?
Yes.
And how like they were
like
able
the world
to, like,
of tomorrow.
One last look through the thermopane windows with decorative plastic laminated safety glass. Functional, beautiful. Another dream of the future in the house of tomorrow.
In the future flying we'll have cars. Flying strollers.
And flying cars is like a red herring in my mind because like we can do flying cars. Flying cars is just like a dumb idea. But like the stuff that they got right. No, I mean, when I say it's a dumb idea, I mean, I'm saying like it's impossible to police because you don't have lanes in the sky. Right. But, so if you do it at scale, unless you do it with autonomous vehicles, then it works. But
that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, because sometimes you go, well, we want flying, like we want this technology. But in order to implement it, it requires another additional technology. And there's lots of shit like that where it's like we had video conferencing for a while, but we didn't have the internet infrastructure to support that as like an actual viable thing. So it's
the only way it works. Is if it's autonomous vehicles. That's the only way it works. Because like there are certain things that people have like almost completely ruled out as like it won't happen. That's how real scientists think. Like people predicted like the internet like 50 years before it happened.
Okay, sure.
So like people assume that like time travel will happen. It just won't be backwards. It'll only be forwards. Like that kind of shit, right?
Okay.
So I need somebody to like sit down with this kind of technology and tell me what it looks like 50, 60 years from now. Because right now I don't have any incentive to like do that. Because right now I'm thinking that like there's stuff in the pipeline that can accomplish basically all of that without a Neuralink. So why would I do it? And I'm not saying I won't do it. I'm just saying like I need to be sold a little bit more. I need somebody to come out with the white paper and tell me like what the ultimate fruition of this looks like so that I can be excited about it. Because I would like to be excited about it.
Yeah, that's I'm already like so I'm like fuck we're like man just the last like 5 years of shit happening I just feel like a little kid sometimes just watching reality unfold like I feel like I'm dreaming like just AI and private space travel and brain machine interface I'm like I'm really living in the Jetsons and it's honestly just like it genuinely legitimately seems like there is a non-zero possibility of me as a human being in my lifetime getting to step foot on Mars. Like not likely, but like it doesn't seem like a crazy impossibility. Like I could see that, you know, happening. That's just, I don't know. It just, I'm astonished by that. But in terms of excitement for like brain machine interfaces, I feel like Black Mirror has done so much. The things that I'm excited about to do with it have been a lot of what I've seen in Black Mirror.
You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
3, 2, 1.
Whoa. Oh, my God.
And so, because I'm assuming you watch it as well, those would be the things that I would think about when I think about what do the next 50 years look like.
And like a lot of stuff that happens with Black Mirror is stuff that's that's the point of the show, and that's why like I'm less excited about it than
shout out Charlie Brooker, that motherfucker's a genius.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like it's stuff that is we're on the cusp of doing it anyway. But a lot of the stuff that we're on the cusp of doing doesn't require a Neuralink. You know what I mean?
What are you talking about specifically?
I'm saying anything that I've heard Neuralink can do, I can do it with like there are people working with like advanced cybernetics that I can put on like my eye. You know what I mean? Like topically. You know what I mean?
So I don't need to record my memories directly from the brain. I can record them externally. Is that one of the examples? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's a great example. So again, I think that I could imagine what I would like to see from like a Neuralink or like any sort of like thing in that kind of realm, like technology integrated directly with my body. But it's like I need to see a fully fleshed out vision of like what they want before I get excited about it. Because right now I'm just like, this is just like a motherfucker like playing around. And like I don't get too excited about that anymore.
The thing that I think about is being able to do something without having to talk, without having to type. While you're cooking, being able to look up recipes, of being able to like amodally communicate with machines, to go like, this is how I kind of feel, what should I cook, without having to turn that specifically into like language in your mind. I'm feeling this way, what should I cook right now? That seems like the kind of thing that would be really great. And then like I think about conversationally, being able to very quickly midstream without stopping or removing attention, have real-time knowledge of shit. So instead of going, oh, we should look that up, taking a second to do so, you can just in conversation go, yeah, no, in 1972, this is what happened, da, 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 and you have that real-time connection.
I also don't think any of that is particularly exciting to me.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like I know what I want to eat. I'm fine taking 10 seconds to say, hey, Google. Like, yeah, I'm fine taking 10 seconds to type. Nothing. Yeah, I'm fine taking 10 seconds to type it in versus, like, it being beamed in my mind. Like, that doesn't excite me. I understand why it would excite you. Like,
yeah, because I'm dumb. I feel you.
You're actually, you know, you're at least of equal intelligence to me. But I just think that we think about, like,
I don't know.
We've had conversations about how we think about, like, time and interfacing differently. Like, we talked about the number of clicks to get to something, and I was saying how the average, like, American person doesn't care if they have to do, you know, 8 clicks versus 4. Like, that was a conversation that happened on this podcast like a while ago.
Yeah.
So I think we just have different ways of thinking about stuff like that.
Now, Josh, you trying to get that brain drilled? Pause.
Play.
Hey. Fast forward.
Yeah. Give it to me.
What are you doing to me?
Oh my God. Elon. You scoundrel. All
right. Oh my God. My brain daddy.
I am open for it, like, but it just depends on the application of it. Like, what is it going to do? Especially like Alvin was saying, like, for one, I would need to see, like, hey, what does this look like in 5 years? So, like, what are the cost and risks? What is, like, actually the negative side effects of this 5 years? Like, you know, that sort of thing beforehand. But if it did something that kind of had like an effect of like an NZT from Limitless.
I learned to play the piano in 3 days. Math became useful and fun.
I'm all in.
Even half listening to any language, I became fluent.
Nigga, sign me up. Like, if I could optimize my mind, or like if I could just like instantly recall like any bit of information I've ever ingested before in my life at any given moment, and apply it in any situation, whether that be comedy, jokes, talking points, blah, 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 blah. But if there was a chip that could help me optimize my mind in such a fashion, nigga, I'm fighting niggas to get in the front of that line to get in that trial. Or to
it's called cocaine. It's called cocaine.
It's called cocaine, baby.
I don't think cocaine helps your memory like that. Is that a thing?
Hey, man.
It helps feel like it.
Yeah, so, no, you think you're doing everything right, but.
we've had conversations about my nootropics research.
Okay.
And, you know, cocaine is potentially one. I mean, the safer alternatives would be like caffeine, nicotine, Adderall. But, you know.
Yeah.
Also negative side effects for all of those things, but you know.
Caffeine, L-theanine together seems pretty good, but it seems, I don't know.
I want to, what you call, oh shit, what's the name? There was a, it's not Adderall, but there's another name. We talked about this a long time before.
Modafinil?
It's got a, no, it's like, okay, so the pills got like one white half, one blue half.
Vyvanse?
Yes, my nigga, yeah. See, Alvin is a motherfucking street pharmacist, bro.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
But yes. Bro, we used to crack like a thing of Vyvanse open, put that in some water. We call it dirty water. Flip on that shit. Yeah. Anyway, but
and what's Vyvanse,
I like that shit, but it really just
is it like limitless?
No.
Okay.
You just laser focused. Like you can't help but to do some shit. And like it's just kind of like you are just laser focused, and like you just can't help but to like look up some stuff, like be read this thing word for word, like just without with minimum distractions. And like when you have a task at hand, like it just really helps you like power through that with damn near not joy, but just ease.
Yeah, enthusiasm.
You know what I mean?
You're happy to do it.
Like not happy. It's not like a happy juice, but it's just like a
gumption. You know?
A gumption. Yeah. Exactly. Gumption. Like a gumption to it. Yeah.
Okay. And all right.
Yeah, I didn't experience like anything negative, like a negative side effect, but also, I wasn't on it tough. It was more of a treat.
When I was on that Adderall heavy, oh my God, I felt like fucking limitless. Like my first night on Adderall, I took a dosage that was way too high because I had no idea what the fuck I was doing. So I was on a level of Adderall that was probably dangerous. But when I say I felt like fucking Spider-Man.
This nigga was this close from jumping out the window.
I leave my campus job. And I lived on campus at the time. This is when I was in grad school.
He was just walking raining. Past this shit everywhere.
No. I'm on the fucking shuttle bus, right? And it's raining. Yeah. And you know how like you get those like little droplets on the window that like run down? So like I was starting at the top of the window and I was counting all the motherfuckers because they were moving in slow motion to me. I was like, wow, 79. It felt like I was moving normal and everybody else was moving
slow motion.
Real slow. It was like the Flash Thomas.
Yeah.
Flash Thompson like fight in Spider-Man. It was like that. And it's like, I didn't sleep for fucking 3 days. I finished my fucking master's thesis in like a night because I didn't, you know, like.
By the way, we do not condone the use of drug usage or legalized or unsupervised drug usage whatsoever.
This has been a message from the podcast. The opinions and statements expressed on this podcast by these co-hosts do not represent the opinions and statements of the co-hosts of this podcast.
I thought this was all parody.
This is satire. Facsimile to any likeness of celebrities, real or fictional, is purely coincidental. These are their stories. Dun, dun.
Yeah. Fair use, parody protection, the Constitution, all that.
Sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, but like fucking Adderall, like I was the best version of myself. And then after that moment, I figured out how to dose myself. And I was probably on it fairly consistently for like 3 months. And I was like a machine, man. Like I was like reading like four books a week in addition to still doing classwork. Yeah. And I was fucking I was working fucking 50 hours a week. I was working out. Like I was cooking and I was the best version of myself when I was on a relatively small dosage of Adderall daily.
We need to get a drug sponsorship.
And I've also thought about because I've never been diagnosed. I've also thought about what maybe that means for do I actually need Adderall or do I not? But
I think if you need it, nigga, bro,
that's what I'm saying.
Tell me what I need. Goddamn, I need everything.
Cause I feel like we when it comes to pharmaceuticals, we are, there was a psychiatrist, but just a psychiatrist that I was speaking to said we should put like antidepressants in all of the water. Like he was, I mean, he wasn't joking. He was like, we should just put a low level of SSRIs in the water supply the same way we do with fluoride. And I think his point was like, we should be medicating ourselves to a certain minimum level population wide. And I don't know that I agree with that, but I think there is a point there, which is that like the whole idea behind nootropics is that medicine for the mind or medicine in general is not just about treating mental illness or treating mental deficiency.
It's enhancement.
It's about enhancement. It's about health. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, cool. You're good, but could you be better? You're fine, but could you be great? Like you may not need Adderall at all, but if you go, I am the best version of myself when I'm on this, I'm capable of a level and a magnitude of greatness that's inaccessible to me otherwise, and it's not fucking my day up, why would you not do that? Why do you need to prove that your life is fucked up to be better?
Now, I will say that while I internally felt great, I did have a friend toward the end of that, which is why I ultimately stopped, pull me to the side.
Please.
And I mean, you probably know this person, yeah. But she effectively was like, Alvin, I think something's wrong.
You think you got a problem? Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, are you, she asked me, was like, what she was, she thought I was doing cocaine. She thought I had become like a cocaine abuser is yeah. effectively what it was.
Cocaine abuser. Yeah.
Yeah. She was like, you know, like what's going on? Like you're acting kind of funny. You're kind of, she was like, she danced around and like, she was like, something's not right. And we ultimately had a conversation. I won't go through all of it, but like some of my behaviors had been weird. Like it was very present that I wasn't sleeping very well, just based on my outward appearance, like that kind of stuff. Because I wasn't sleeping. I was averaging like 3 hours of sleep a night.
You were just
So that's why I ultimately stopped. But from my perspective.
Shit was in slow motion. You was doing good.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'm just imagining Alvin walking around fast as shit, like, yep, have a good day. Yep, nope, everything's good. And everybody's like,
crazy.
I don't think that motherfucker, I think something's up with this nigga. Like,
that's funny.
Is he good?
AB looking like,
good morning, everyone.
He's just about to crash. Exactly. But it's just with high energy than a motherfucker, like, yo, you on that coke, baby?
Are you melting?
My nigga, are you on a perk 30? You good?
A perk 30, man. That's insane. Like, I'm just like walking around on a perk.
But yeah, but I think it's all, but like that's the thing, because like we also have to discuss like the negative aspect of that, because like just the fact that you're physically like you had this expression, this look, it's not good. That's not the picture of Phil, but you're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it was only a matter of time before like something would have it would have came to a head of some sort, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nah, nigga, so, once you start counting the rain, it might be a problem. So
I mean that's
this nigga while in the middle of a rainstorm,
like
to
do advanced algebra and calculus just to keep track of like how many raindrops are hitting the window. Yeah, like
to be fair, the raindrop night I was on a level that nobody should ever be on. Yeah, like nobody should ever be on what I was on night one. That's but crazy. My thesis got done. That's all I'm saying.
Now, my question, when old girl said, hey, you're moving crazy right now, did you cold turkey it or aim down towards zero? Or were you like, oh, maybe I need to adjust the dosage or something like that? Or did, like, because it seems like you don't enhance yourself that way anymore. So why zero?
I will say by the time that I had done that, I was afraid of what the crash would look like. So yes. I titrated off with the extendos, the 20 milligram like extendos. So I was doing that versus like, I was taking like the quick hitters and I was doing like 20 milligrams like in the morning and like an extendo to like take the edge off in the end of the day. Like I was like, it was a very like weird situation. But I did titrate off a little bit. I didn't just like throw all the pills away like the next day or anything, because I was managing. No, I didn't try to maintain a level after that. Like it was about like, okay, I'm done
getting to zero.
Let's make sure that like I do this in a way that like the crash isn't too crazy.
Cause I'm trying to be on that NZT time. Like I haven't done, but that like what you just described, I mean, obviously there's look, Josh, you probably want to do another one of these warnings at the end of this conversation, but something about that just sounds like really wonderful of being able to access your true self, which sounds like some crackhead shit, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, I'm me when I'm drunk. It's like, oh, it's all right. But, you know, there's something there.
I'm with you.
Hey, look, we all have the same traumas, it sounds like, so we all just a bunch of fucking
but, you know, it's,
little addicts.
we do have to, we have a responsibility.
Yes, we do.
To these kids.
To these kids. These grown-ass kids. These grown adults, too. Like,
the new generation listening to us, brother.
That was a deep cut reference on my part. I'm sorry.
To these kids. Dave Chappelle. No. What did that come from?
It's D12.
Oh.
It's actually featuring D12. It's on Eminem's show. I can't remember the name of it. I'll tell you the name of it later, but that was a reference. That's how they start the track. We have a responsibility to these kids. And then they say, psych. And then M comes in and starts rapping. Yeah.
Makes sense. Okay. That was good. That was good.
Wrap this bad boy up for us, Josh.
You know, use it. Don't abuse it. Don't let the shit use you. You know what I'm saying? Take care of your mental health. Make sure that you yourself are good as a person, or working to a place where you're good as a person. Treat women like actual human beings. They're more than just pussy pockets. Mm. Fellas, get in touch with your mental health. Women, be great. You know,
don't sourdough.
Don't sourdough. You know what I'm saying? Remember, with great pussy comes great power. Yeah, man, you know, love to everybody.
That's a big fact. Look, if you see Elon Musk coming towards you trying to get in that little skull, you know what I'm saying? You might be seeing a red flag. But at the same time, if you stick your toe in somebody's pussy, might be you just waving a red flag. This has been Waving a Red Flag Podcast. It's been Eddie. It's been Josh. It's been Alvin. We'll see y'all next week. Join us on Patreon every week to get bonus episodes, to join us live, you know what I'm saying, to talk to us on Discord. Like, subscribe to this video. Peace, peace, peace.
Hit the notification bell to enable them shits as well, or some shit, whatever they say.
Yeah, yeah, you know what it is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Get us to 15K. 10 toes down.
We appreciate you. Thank y'all all so much for being here.
Yes, indeed.